Okay, so we finished Acts 14 last week. We're on Acts 15. And with that, let's just get right into reading the text. And you might want to get Galatians 2 in your other hand. Galatians 2 will be Paul's account of this same time period, this same event that we'll be studying in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. One thing is also you'll notice is that after Acts 15, you know what? You don't see any more references to the 12 by name in the rest of the book of Acts, and yet we're only basically halfway through the book of Acts. All right? To start Acts 15, let's actually pick up Acts 14, verse 26, the last three verses in chapter 14, so we get the context. So, and thence set. So, who's sailing here? This would be Paul and Barnabas, and I'm going back to catch. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas, verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And if you recall, that's Acts 13, 2, is where they were sent on this mission, and they just fulfilled it right there. Verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And certain men, so now we're in 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, so again in verse 16 we saw that they sailed forth, and when they were come,
26.
Down into Italia, okay, and thence sailed to Antioch in verse 26 of chapter 14. Key is they're in Antioch. Okay, they're in Antioch. Now, chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea to Antioch taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. My question to you is, what is that question that they're sending Paul and Barnabas?
Circumcision.
And specifically, is circumcision part of salvation? Is it required for salvation? That's the question that is in question, if you will, right here in the first two verses. Okay, question?
Antioch. Where is Antioch?
Where north.
Would that be talking about?
North, Syria.
That would be like
north.
But in the books of Paul. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians.
Galatians,
is
yes.
This is taking place in Galatians 2,
exactly. Okay. So that is the question. So, if that's in question, would it be fair to say that at this time, other than what Paul was preaching, circumcision was required for salvation?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's part of the law. It had been for a couple thousand years. Why would it have changed? So here we are. We've got a major issue because Paul is saying, no, circumcision has no part of salvation. He's preaching the gospel of Christ, as he tells us in Romans, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 that we read earlier. You know, the brethren that he preached, he received it neither of man, nor was taught it. Actually, let's go back. Keep your hand here. So again, Galatians 1 and 2, we'll be going back and forth quite a bit. Actually, let's go back earlier in the book of Galatians.
Earlier than the one? Here's Galatians 0. Now,
Paul says in verse 6 of Galatians 1, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. No question which gospel he's talking about. He just said so right there in verse 7. It's the gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God unto salvation to this day is the gospel of Christ. All right, so that's the gospel that Paul was preaching back there. Yet some people came in and said, whoa, you've got to be circumcised. And that's the whole issue. And he's going to talk about that more in the book of Galatians. So now back to Acts 15. So they're going to send Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them to go up to Jerusalem. At the end of verse 2, unto the apostles and elders about this question. By the way, since they're sending them to the apostles, you see how the apostles are also including circumcision in what they're preaching. Okay? Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, okay, so verse 4 is where they're getting to Jerusalem. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the, and watch these three groups, the church, and of the apostles, and elders. Three groups. And they declared all things that God had done with them. Okay, so Paul,
so confirmed
Barnabas,
or
confirmed,
agreed, or...
Just tell them at this point. So George, my name's Paul, and I just want to, I'm going to tell you and the other 12 men and apostles there what we've been doing. Here it is. So they declared unto them. Now, verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Okay, certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. All right, first let's dissect that verse a little bit. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. So first thing, Pharisees versus Sadducees. The difference between Pharisees and Sadducees. If you come ahead in the book of Acts to chapter 21, In verse 8 of Acts chapter 23. Actually, verse 7. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. The resurrection of angels and spirits, okay? So there is resurrection according, and the Pharisees believe in resurrection. Now, back to Acts 15. So a sect of the Pharisees that believe in resurrection, which believe. Now, if they're there with the 12, it means these Jewish leaders had believed what Peter and the 12 taught, okay? Because they were in the Old Testament law with Moses. Then Peter comes and says, hey, by the way, that man that you crucified, a man named Jesus, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the gospel of God, as Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. Okay? Everybody's got that? Make sure it's clear. Make sure you... Okay? So, that's what these Pharisees are believing. These Pharisees which believe, but yet they still, even though they believe that, they're still under the law. Need them circumcised. Okay, in the middle of verse 5, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So obviously, Peter and the 12 have not changed anything about the law of Moses at this point. They're there with them.
Amen.
Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, well, okay, they didn't just take this matter lightly. They disputed it between themselves. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Peter, yep, that same Peter, the man that was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ gave that Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he said unto them in verse 7, Men and brethren, ye know how that good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That verse we need to talk about. So Peter went to who? Who was the first Gentile that Peter went to?
Cornelius.
In Acts chapter 10. Remember we studied that a few weeks back. Acts chapter 10. Peter goes to a Gentile named Cornelius. Let's just flip back to Acts chapter 10. Make sure we get a couple of a key phrase about this man, Cornelius. What type of Gentile was he? Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. It calls Cornelius, in verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Okay, he was in the covenants of promise, as in Genesis chapter 12, because of the way the Bible describes him in verse 2 there. Let's jump way ahead now.
So he was
in Acts 10. He's
a Gentile that followed the Jews.
Exactly. He's a Gentile that aligned himself with the Jews. So verse 1, you know that because he's from Caesarea, the Italian band. So he's a Gentile. And of course, when you read the whole thing, you definitely see it. Actually, what we're going to read right here, you'll see it. So Acts 10, verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, Cornelius, he went in and found many that were come together. Cornelius brought all of his people together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew, himself, Peter, to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Okay, Cornelius, up until Acts 10, would have been considered common and unclean in Peter's eyes.
But the opposite could have happened. Is that correct? Peter going to the Gentile versus the Gentile going to the Jew.
Oh, so the opposite, yes. So the Gentiles could have gone to the Jew, absolutely.
Right.
But the Jews were not to go to Gentiles.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying what you're meaning there. So yes, absolutely. Okay, so that's the key part there. That's where Peter went. And that's what opened the door to the Gentiles, if you will. Paul had just gotten saved in Acts 9, but he hasn't started preaching yet. The first time we have an account of Paul preaching was 2 weeks ago, Acts chapter 13.
Question?
Yes?
So where was it established that a Jew should not come unto you?
So, for thousands of years back, if you start in Genesis chapter 12, would be where it all started. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. God's promise to Abraham. Okay? And then when you get, three generations later, you now have the 12 tribes going, the 12 tribes of Israel. And from there on, and then when Moses is given the law, Gentiles are dogs, unclean from that point forward. Okay? They're given dietary laws, very strict laws to follow. Not just the Ten Commandments, there's 613 of them back there. 613 ordinances that the Jews are to follow.
Then how is it possible for a Gentile to align themselves with a Jew? Do you have to go to like a class or just go to talk to
Now, whether they had a class or not, they could, if they realized that the God of Abraham was the God and only God, the way that they could gain favor, and there were few, as far as we know, that ever did in those thousands of years, but they could go to the synagogue. They could not go into the temple. Up until Acts, they're not allowed in the temple. We're going to see when we get to Acts 20 or 21, somewhere in there. 21. It's one of the other reasons they're going to go stone Paul's, because they thought he brought a Gentile into the temple and is Acts 21.
So wasn't it that they could peek through the walls or something?
Polluted it, yeah, basically.
They were, yeah, trying to look through the walls.
Watch how they describe this. So even up to Acts 21, the Jews still feel this way about Gentiles. I'm just going to jump in. 28, Acts 21, verse 28. Sorry. So Acts chapter 21, verse 28, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man," now they're preaching to Paul, "this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people." And remember, the people in King James is the Jews. "That teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place," the temple. "And further brought Greeks in also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place," just by bringing a Gentile into the temple.
But I thought Greeks were aligned with...
They weren't allowed in the temple.
Oh, okay.
They were not allowed into the temple. They could come listen outside and listen to what was being said through the windows, just like if somebody wanted to, they could stop out there right now and listen through the windows if they didn't want to come in here. Now, if we were Jews back here and said, no, because of God's commandment back there, Gentiles are not allowed in this holy place. But they could listen outside the windows there. That would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's what was going on here. So until, even though Peter had gone to a Gentile, and that opened up the Word of God to Gentiles, but yet we never see Peter go anywhere to Gentiles again. That's the only time. Here we are, Acts 21. Many, 10 years plus later, and they're still not allowed in the temple. They're still dogs. They're still trash in the eyes of the Jews. It's not until Acts 28 that the Jews became, "Lo am I, not my people." Okay? Question? All right.
I wonder, did they still maintain that attitude, though?
Did you say, do they or did they?
Did they still maintain the attitude?
I would say until the year 2013, many have maintained that attitude. Absolutely. I went to a school that was 85% Jewish, and it is amazing. You know, college, it was 85% Jewish. And it's amazing how many of them, you talk about well-grounded in Old Testament Scripture. There was a class or two I attended only a few times. There are things more important than that day. But just to see their knowledge in Old Testament Scripture was amazing. But yeah, oh yeah, they definitely still think that they are God's chosen people. Many of them, not all.
There's a sign that I saw. I can't remember where it was, but it was online, and it was drug up from, I think, the temple when after Titus destroyed it. It was the sign that said that you Gentiles are not allowed to go beyond this point.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
They found that in the...
Pete, not only Jews, but I would say most of religion today believes that the Jews are still God's chosen. Jews are God's chosen people.
Here's the sign, actually.
Come put that up here for the video's sake, if you would, Brian.
I don't know if it will.
Okay, so just read it for the video right there, if you would, to the video. Oh, wow.
Well, that's not the actual sign. It's prior
okay.
to that.
So, announcement and warning. According to the Torah, it is forbidden for any person to enter the area of the Temple Mount due to its sacredness. The chief rabbinate of Israel. Forgive me, I don't mean to be disrespectful of the Jewish religion right there. The chief, I'm going to call him rabbi, of Israel. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You got to it pretty quickly, too. But yes, most of the church today, I believe that, you know, how many times you hear people say, we've got to align with Israel politically, in elections it comes up. We've got to align with Israel politically because that's God's chosen people. There might be political reasons too, but there's no religious reason to. They are not God's chosen people. The group that lives there is not God's people. They will be in the future. It's called the tribulation. And nobody wants to be on this earth then. Besides that, if any of us are on the earth then, we're doomed for hell. We'll have no chance in the tribulation. We got to get saved before it. Of course, we'll be out of here. Anybody with a testimony of salvation, the rapture happens before the seven-year trip, and I'm getting into whole kinds of different things. So let's get back to Acts 15.
Let's start back in Genesis.
Yeah. Wow. Acts 15. Okay, so a lot of issues. Verse 5 again. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, following Peter and the 12, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So Peter and the 12, all the people following them, are keeping the law of Moses, and they are being circumcised as part of that. By the way, I would throw in here today, you know, circumcision isn't the issue today that separates. Today the issue is more baptism. Back here it was circumcision. All right? Anyway, command them to keep the law of Moses, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. When there had been much disputing, so Peter rises up and he says unto them, Men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, so we looked at the first part of that. Now let's go to the second part. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Well, what gospel would Peter have been preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. Absolutely. All right, that's what Christ taught him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what he taught the 12. The gospel of the kingdom. Let's go back to Mark 6. So keep your hand here. Go back to Mark 16. Matthew, Mark. So Mark 16, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is going to give, the resurrected Lord here is going to give the 11 their marching orders before he ascends into heaven. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward he, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And how many people today do you hear say, that's the gospel? All these guys on Friday morning would be saying that. There's the gospel. Go into all the world preaching the gospel. And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Now, it's interesting right there how so many, you'll even have division in people that take that passage. There's a big split between them. So water baptism. Good morning. Great to see you. Is that part of salvation or not? Of course, today in the year 2013, The answer is absolutely not. It has no part of salvation today. Water baptism. Now, back here at this time, this isn't even the gospel for today either. We're in Matthew, or we're in study of Acts 15 and Galatians 2. Great to see you today. I look forward to catching up. And so in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. At that time, how were they saved? By that gospel of the kingdom. Believe to be saved and then be baptized. Isn't that what it said? No, it's not what it said, did it? It said, believe and be baptized shall be saved. Absolutely, water baptism was part of salvation at that time. What did Peter say in Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. He didn't say repent for the remission of sins and be baptized. So he asked Southern Baptists, how are you splitting the two? Between Mark 16, between Acts 2:38, both of those have water baptism as a requirement to receive what is being offered. Again, not for today in the year 2013, but back here at this time period when it was preached, it was part of it. While we're here being the Gospels in Mark, let's go back to Matthew chapter 24.
Amen.
Reading your mind. Now, great minds think alike, brother. Matthew chapter 24. Again, the whole issue about the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24, verse 14. Should be red letters, and it says, "And this, bless you, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Well, what's the gospel of the kingdom? The verse before, verse 14, 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." They had to repent, they had to be baptized, they had to endure to the end. I'm sorry?
Sell out.
Sell out, have all things common is definitely part of it. That's why in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, that's exactly what we see the believers doing there that are following Peter and the 12, because they think the trib's coming and they know it's the only way they can make it through, because if they don't endure to the end, there is no more hope for them. Just like Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, and Hebrews 6 and 10 tell us, anybody that is a believer and then they do something, they sin willfully, like take the mark of the beast, there remaineth no more sacrifice for them. They can't get saved again, if you will. They lose it eternally. Just like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They were believers and then they lost it. And they were struck dead right there on the spot. Okay, anyway. Acts 15. Back to Acts 15. So in Acts 15 verse 7, when Peter says that by my mouth at the end of verse 7 should hear the word of the gospel and believe, that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's all Peter knew, the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 8, and God, excuse me one second, okay, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Remember Cornelius at the end there, when they believed, they got the Holy Ghost on them. And they started, how did they know it? Because they started speaking in tongues. Cornelius and the men with them. They started speaking in tongues. The sign to the Jews that, yep, they did get the Holy Ghost. So that's exactly what Peter's referring to here. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Verse 9 now, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Remember, 1500 years, they had the law and nobody was able to follow it, were they? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come, die on that cross for our sins. He had to come, hang on a cross. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. Took those sins to hell, was raised again on the third day. God the Father raised him for our justification. And all we have to do is believe in that and trust in that, and that alone for our salvation, and we're saved today. And not only are we saved, we're sealed, as opposed to the man in Hebrews. We're sealed in Ephesians 4:30 unto when? The day of what? Redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's the biggest difference right there in between what Peter and Paul preached. Paul preached the gospel of Christ. Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, you can lose your salvation when you do. You don't get a second chance. Paul preached, when you get saved by the gospel of Christ, not only are you saved, but you're sealed to the day of redemption. The calling out of the body of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4. The rapture of the church. Nothing you can do to gain your salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Nothing you can do to lose your salvation, Ephesians 4, 30. Praise the Lord for that. Why would anybody that ever hears that, and even starts to see the difference, want to go back under what Peter and the 12 were preaching?
Amen.
Wow. Okay, so that's where we are right now in Acts 15. So that was verse 10. Which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now watch this verse. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Well, let's talk about that, because that verse can cause a little confusion sometimes for some people. So first of all, who's the we and they? So we shall be saved. Who's we? When Peter's talking, right? And he says, we shall be saved. Who's we?
Peter
and the
believers.
Apostles.
Apostles would be part of it. What kind of believers? What nationality?
Jews.
Thank you. So Peter and the 12 and the Jewish believers. And of course, at that time, it would have been any Gentiles aligning themselves with him too would be included in that. But he's saying, we shall be saved even as they being Gentiles. All right, now, not saved the same way, but saved at the same time, if you will. Now, we get saved today at the moment of belief, but remember in Acts 3:19, Peter said they'll get their redemption when? I should have a timeline. I can't believe I'm doing this study without a timeline going. But I'm not going to right now. So, at the second coming, thank you, at the second coming is when the Jews will receive remission of sins. Acts 3:19. Okay, that's when they get it. Acts 3:19 through 22, 23 in there. That's when their sins will be remitted. That's when they shall be saved, even as, now I'm changing a little bit, but even as we Gentiles are today. Okay?
Now, will that be from that time all the way back to Genesis?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be the resurrection of Old Testament saints as well. The second coming is when Old Testament saints are resurrected into the physical land on earth. Okay? Any martyrs that died during the seven-year trib are also resurrected, but they're resurrected to the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Any people that are alive during the trib, they're not martyred, but the second coming occurs and they're alive on earth. And they are following the gospel of the kingdom, and they have endured to the end. They will walk into the kingdom, the kingdom on earth, the land. Okay? So three inheritances: the land, the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, and then we are the body of Christ, far above all heavens, with the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he goes. Three inheritances.
But that'll be all Jews.
Which?
Were left behind at the...
No, there could be Gentiles too.
Gentiles too?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because everything's going to take place in the Middle East.
And that's the nations that help. Now it's which nations need to align with Israel during the trip. And those will be the Gentile nations, those that align with Israel and help them. Those are the ones that can go into the kingdom, absolutely. I don't really want to go there right now. That's not the... we can come back to that after this... The study or at the end, be glad to.
There'd be a lot more Gentiles than Jews.
Okay, now verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence. Okay, so Peter stood up, gave his discussion there. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now, it's interesting, Luke writes the book of Acts. He doesn't expound a whole lot on this other than one verse. Now it's verse 13. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, so this is James, most likely the half-brother of Jesus, most probably James the half-brother of Jesus, especially using Galatians 1. To compare, actually, let's do that. So we can keep Galatians 1 and 2 in the other hand. Let's go over there real quick. Galatians 1. So Galatians 1, so remember we read this earlier, but verse 18. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Okay, so right there, that's the only other one he saw was James, the Lord's brother. So, now back to Acts 15. That's why in verse 13, after they held their peace, James answered. That's same James right there. Saying, men and brethren, now notice, by the way, this becomes a major transition. Of the apostles and of the direct followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter's preeminence in the Bible just ended. And anytime there is reference to that group of men, James now takes the preeminent position here and a little bit later on. Okay, in the book of Acts. So verse 13, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Okay, we may not understand them, but God sure does. All right? Verse 19, wherefore my sentence is. Okay, here's the conclusion of this whole issue. What was the question?
Circumcision.
Is circumcision part of salvation? Is it required for salvation? So wherefore, after all the discussions going on, verse 19, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain. Let me hit 19 again. I may have misread that. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they, and here's going to be four ordinances that are put on the Gentiles that Paul preaches and teaches, okay, not for salvation, if you will, as a result of salvation. Okay, they are saved by the gospel of Christ, that and that alone. But once they get saved, here's four ordinances that they are to follow. Verse 20. But that we write unto them that they, one, abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. There's your four. Four ordinances right there.
What are things strangled?
They have certain ways they have to kill the animals by Jewish law. They have to slit the throats and let the blood run out. Something strangled, if we took a, you see people today like with chickens, and they just grab it and
wring
its neck, wring their neck, it still has the blood in it. Okay, that would be an unclean animal by the Jews. So
not kosher.
Yeah. If you hear the phrase, it's not kosher, well, literally kosher is the blood is out of it. Okay? Good question. Thanks. Yes?
We have a question, but he wants to know how can Jesus have a half-brother if he was the Son of God?
Wow. So let me come... Great question. I'm going to take that one for the end so we stay on 14. Please ask me at the end. Okay? No, that needs to be on here. So the question is, how can Jesus have a half-brother when he's the only Son of God? And that's exactly why he's a half-brother, because his half-brother is fathered not by God Almighty. He's a half-brother because he has the same mother.
And Joseph.
He has the same mother in Mary. She birthed the Lord Jesus Christ. She birthed James, but different father.
Amen.
Okay.
The Lord versus Joseph.
The Lord versus... Sorry. Yeah, so God, the Father, is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, whereas Joseph, the man on earth, is, you know, fathered James through Mary. So that's why he's the half-brother. Okay?
Well, there were others.
Yeah, and there were others, right. Okay?
Because
he has a different father. Thank you for asking the question. I don't know why I was going to put that. Great question. Okay? All right, so back to...
That's why.
15,
20. That took a long time. It's probably the quickest answer so far.
Back to it.
Okay, verse 21 of Acts chapter 15. For Moses of old time hath in every... And by the way, actually, so those four ordinances were placed on them. Let's actually come ahead to next week, Acts chapter 16. And, you know, does Paul, you know, do what he's told? So, the very next chapter, verse 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. Okay, come down. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. So you see Paul doing exactly what James just instructed, right? Okay, so back to Acts 15 now. Now, verse 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. So now we're going to see Barnabas and Silas continue with Paul, and they're going to send them with these letters with the four decrees, the four ordinances to keep. Verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Okay, so, and Galatians is all about this. Every time Paul went to a city, preached the gospel of Christ, and he moves on, a group of men, I think we talked about this last week even, a group of men came right in behind him and tried to get those people to go back under the law.
Stirred them up.
And stirred them up, starting with circumcision. I would suggest to you today, in the year 2013, it's not circumcision they use to put you back under the law, but baptism. Everybody, you got to go get baptized now. And no, they won't tell you that you have to do the Ten Commandments or the 613, but boy, they want to put you under them.
Well, some of them do tell you.
And some, yeah, to do the well, and some of them do, exactly. They all do to different degrees.
But, and as you found out, some of them tell you what Bible to read.
Well, another issue there, but absolutely. Matter of fact, when is the last time you found anybody that's going to take up for the King James Version? It's as the serpent beguiled Eve.
They're afraid.
As the serpent beguiled Eve. How did he do that? Changed one word here, added just one word here, and subtracted a phrase there. Just change the word of God just a little bit. That's how he beguiled Eve. Beguiled, to deceive. How are people deceived today? The same way. They just change a little word here. They just change. It's a two-letter word. Of the two. Galatians 2:16. The faith of Christ. The faith in Christ. Or in that case, it's of the in. Got you with Galatians 2. On the other hand, go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrarywise. I'm sorry. Galatians 2, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Two different gospels. The gospel of the circumcision is Peter's gospel. The gospel of the uncircumcision is Paul's gospel. Comparing scripture with scripture, the gospel of the circumcision, which is Peter's, therefore has to be the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the uncircumcision that's committed unto Paul, comparing scripture with scripture, that's got to be the gospel of Christ. But all other versions, including the New King James Version, all say, verse 7, they saw that the gospel to the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel to the circumcision was unto Peter. We just made two gospels into one, didn't we? by just changing a two-letter word of the two. Every version, including New King James, changes of to two, thereby totally changing the unique, distinct gospel that Paul preached, message and doctrine that Paul preached, with changing one little word. As the serpent beguiled Eve, 2 Corinthians 11:3. As it's going on to this day, every single day, people are deceived the exact same way. I'll say religious people, people wanting to know. They're not in churches today because they're in churches because they want to know what God says. They want to know the right things. That's the worst part of it. And that's exactly why Satan's the one there deceiving them the exact same way he deceived Eve right at the beginning. Nothing's changed. There's nothing new under the sun, we're told in Song of Solomon. The exact same things are going on and the same strategy is working. What's that thing? Screw me once, shame on me. Screw me twice. Or screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. And we're all... Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way, but...
It worked.
You going to edit that?
I was just going to say that we were watching the TV yesterday, and boy, we watched football and baseball, and we watched just this and that and the other thing, and it was all about the world. It was everything about the world, and I saw nothing about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, so that's because I don't have TV in though. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it was all about the world, man. Nothing.
Keep Acts 15 and Galatians 2 going here. All right, back to Acts 15 now. So in verse 23 of Acts 15. So they give Paul, they send Judas and Silas. Judas surnamed Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among brethren, to go with Paul. And they give them letters, proof, if you will, right from the 12 themselves and the elders of the church at Jerusalem. So that wherever they go, they can say, hey, here it is. These guys signed it. And verse 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandments. So that was where we left off. The 12 are telling them, no, we didn't give those men that direction to come into you to tell you that. They were there on their own accord. Those men that came behind Paul, each city he went. Okay, and when we really do a study of Galatians 1, 2, 3, actually the whole book of Galatians, that's what happened every place he went. This group of Jews, again, thinking they're doing right, are going in to correct the doctrine that Paul taught. I would say much like most denominations today, much like Thursday, I had two pastors that wanted to correct me.
Cleanup crew.
The cleanup crew, exactly. Okay, verse 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So Barnabas, by the way, notice they put Barnabas ahead of Paul. Interesting, huh? Verse 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Barnabas and Paul. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And here we go with those four same decrees. 29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So, when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which, when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. That they don't have to get circumcised, okay? And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after that, and after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Pardon me. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Hold your hand there. Go back to Acts 13:13. So this is what Paul is referring to. Acts 13 and verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, like we just read. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem, and I would add, and joined the 12, and wrote the book of Mark. All right? Now, because he did that, over here in Acts chapter 15, verse 38, Paul says, no, we're not going to bring that man with us. Why? He's teaching. He had different doctrine, okay? He had a ministry given to him of God the Father. And he went and wrote it. It's called the book of Mark. And this became dissension between Paul and Barnabas, so they split, and you will never see Barnabas nor Mark again mentioned in the Bible. Okay? Doesn't mean they did wrong. It just means their ministry, their part of the ministry that they had been charged with, is ended.
And that Mark would have been the Mark that wrote
that wrote Paul. Wrote the book of Mark. Mark. Yes. Exactly.
Wait, I'm confused.
Okay.
The Gospel of Mark?
Yes.
Paul
is
with Barnabas.
So Mark is not here. Well, Mark is here. Okay, verse 38. But Paul thought it not good to take with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. That was Acts 13:13, which was John Mark. When John Mark left them back there in Acts 13, he went back to Jerusalem with the 12 and he wrote the book of Mark. Okay?
I just didn't realize that at any point he was with any of the apostles because
right here in Acts 15 at the beginning, remember, Paul goes to Jerusalem in verse 4. So Acts 15:4, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. Okay, so that's why John Mark is there. I'm sorry?
To go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles?
No. No, this is, so at the beginning of Acts 15, the question had come about, is circumcision part of salvation? So Paul and Barnabas go back to Jerusalem to work that out with the 12.
Okay.
John Mark would be there.
Okay.
Because of that. He was already there. Paul and Barnabas came there. They worked this out. Now we're reading the conclusion of what they've all decided. Okay. Okay, so now back to Acts chapter 15 and verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, again, never to be seen again, if you will, in your Bible. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Alright? Why all this matters, Galatians chapter 2. We already read it once, just talking about the serpent beguiling Eve. I don't want to go back to the verse.
Back to the verse.
Actually, Galatians 2.
Oh, okay.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 1.
I thought we might be going to Genesis.
Okay. Galatians 2, verse 1. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Okay, so this is what we just read in Acts 15. Okay, this is 14 years after. Verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he's still, you know, let me test this with the 12, make sure that everything is kosher, if you will. Verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And again, that's what the whole book of Galatians will be about, is the bondage that comes with the ordinances, the law, starting with circumcision / baptism today. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Okay, they couldn't teach Paul anything. He'd already received it all from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But contrarywise, and here's the key verse 7 again, when they, the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of Christ, was committed unto me, Paul, just as the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom, was unto Peter. Verse 9, I'm skipping, so go to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. All right, and so there you have the splitting of the commissions right there. Peter is to take the gospel of the kingdom with the 12 and go to the Jews. Paul is to take the gospel of Christ and go to the rest of the world. Mostly the heathen, but anybody that would hear and accept it and receive it. Why? Because the book of Romans, so go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we are wrapping up here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Then come across to 11. Chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 1. I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Come down to verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto Gentiles. Why? For to provoke them to jealousy. That's it right there. And that is what happens in the rest of the book of Acts. Yes, Paul goes to the Jew first. When they reject, when they blaspheme, when they stir up the people, that releases Paul to go to the Gentiles in those cities. But he's doing this to provoke the Jews to jealousy. He still has, his heart is still with the Jews. It's not till the end of the book of Acts that they become, lo am I, not my people. And now you have the seven prison epistles and the doctrine there, where there are no longer four ordinances. Those four ordinances go away. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about, showing the Acts period Ephesian believers who are keeping those four decrees, that those decrees are now gone. He creates one new man in Ephesians 3, and it's the first group of believers at Ephesus following the four decrees, and those that were saved later on, just like you and I. We never aligned ourselves with Israel. We just heard the word of God, of Christ preached. We believed it. We trusted in it for our salvation. We were saved and sealed at the same time until the day of redemption. It is that easy. It really is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks for bearing with a little bit longer study there, and we'll definitely go to questions now.
So the four ordinances primarily were to, since Gentiles were going to be interacting with Jews, is that the...
Yeah, what was the purpose of the four ordinances?
Because Paul's still going to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, also to the Greek. Those were things that would keep them, if you will, not totally in your face to the Jews. The dietary laws in particular, if you'll notice all that. Can I tell you exactly why? All I know is in Acts 15, that's the decrees they came with. And I would say, yes, directed by the Lord.
Those are Old Testament decrees.
Well, they're definitely Old Testament decrees, but how did they decide those four out of 613?
Pig.
You know?
Everybody wanted pig. Come on.
Yeah. Man, Bacon. Pig's feet, pig's heart.
Other questions?
So it seemed like the changing of the guards, I mean, what was not in... So there's a bunch of groups, actually.
Yes.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of changing of the guards. There's more than one changing of the guard going on there.
Yeah.
But exactly. That would be the reason, because were they going to be interacting with Jews, more or less?
Well, yes, because he's still going to the Jew first for the rest of the book of Acts, as we're going to see in Acts 16, 17, 18, 19.
I'm talking about the people that were getting salvation, that were receiving salvation.
Right.
Like the Gentiles and
right.
the Jews that, you know, trusted the gospel of Christ.
During
were they going to be interacting?
They could have been. They didn't have to. They certainly could have been.
So, I mean, like, the Gentiles would come to the synagogue? Or
not allowed in.
Well, they would no longer... No. Any Gentiles who heard Paul, they wouldn't have been going to synagogues anymore. When they heard the gospel of Christ, there would not have been a need to go to synagogues anymore. But that's one of the changes in doctrine that the prison epistles, the Acts epistles, Colossians 2, so get Romans 14 and Colossians chapter 2. So Romans would be written during the Acts period. This is when the four decrees would still be in. And this is why in the book of Romans and in Corinthians he's going to teach the same thing. So 14:1, Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs, and if you will, doesn't eat pig. Alright? And he goes on, so let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, so, you know, let's not be judging each other. You know, come down to verse 5. We've got holy days here regarding the days. So come. Let's come right to the end, verse 21. For it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. If you think it's all right, in Romans now, during the time period that Romans was written, if you think it's all right to eat pig, go ahead and eat pig. But if your brother over here doesn't think it's right, then you shouldn't eat pig in front of him. Okay, that's exactly what he just got done saying.
One in Rome.
Four ordinances that go on there. If you think it's all right, go ahead, but have it to yourself. And he that verse 22, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Verse 20, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay? In prison epistles, he says, let no man judge you. In Romans, we are supposed to honor that belief that others may have. During the Acts period. Other questions? The key thing, that, let me wrap up by saying this. The key thing is what we read in Acts 2:7. The agreement there. That Peter would take the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews there in Jerusalem, because we never see them leave Jerusalem. Paul takes the gospel of Christ, Galatians 2:7, also called the gospel of the uncircumcision, and he takes it to the heathen. Yeah, us, heathen. We're just a bunch of heathens, all right? Not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell. But that's why it was the gospel of Christ that saves us. And whosoever calls on that, on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Whosoever believes in the gospel of Christ. We all know the historical facts about Christ. We know that 2,000 years ago he hung on a cross and he was buried and that he was raised again. Satan believes that. The difference is we believe the gospel of that. That, oh yeah, when he was hanging on that cross and shedding his blood, yeah, he was paying the penalty for our sins. And he took them to hell, and then God the Father raised him 3 days later for our justification. So that we can have the righteousness of God in him. And that's it. All we have to do is believe that's the gospel of the events. Believe that, trust in that for your salvation, you're saved and sealed into the day of redemption. That's the main difference from Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2 that matters for the year 2013. In what gospel are you preaching? No, Peter and Paul did not preach the same gospel. They never did. That's why it's so important to understand that Paul got his gospel, he said in Galatians 1:10 and 11, or 11 and 12, and his doctrine from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He never got it from man, neither was he taught it of man. That's also why next week in Acts 16, we're going to see Paul even tries to go into Asia where Peter and the 12, or Peter had preached, and it says the Spirit forbade him not, wouldn't let him go there. And Paul says in Romans, he never went where any other man preached, meaning Peter and the 12. They were two distinct messages to two distinct groups. Okay, so important to see that in the Scriptures. All right? Okay, thanks, and we can wrap that one up. Is there enough room on the YouTube for that?